You're listening to CKGI, Gabriola Co-op Radio. And this is Arts on Board.
The Heart.
Well, welcome to another edition of Arts on Board, your window into what's happening in the arts and entertainment scene on Gabriola and around Central Vancouver Island. My name is Frank Moore. And this time out, we preview the first big performing event of the fall season on both Gabriola and over in Nanaimo. And that's the visit of performance poet Jem Rolls. With his one-person show, Jem Rolls Attacks the Silence. One of the easiest interviews I've done because, as you'll hear, Jem's job is talking. And then I speak with Mary Dupre, the new general manager of Theatre One in Nanaimo, about what brought her back to the city after many years away, and what she sees ahead for that company. And somewhere in there, we'll have a preview of the new Radio After Dark show for the whole family coming up in October on Gabriola, The Magic of Time, a dead rabbit gang mystery. But not to worry, no rabbits were harmed in the recording of this episode of Arts on Board. Well, Jem Rolls has been topping off a busy summer of touring with an early fall sweep around the Salish Sea. And this coming Saturday night, September 27th, he performs Jem Rolls Attacks the Silence at the Poetry Yurt on Gabriola at 7 p.m. By the way, yurt is my new favorite word. Yurt. It's just fun to say. And then the next night, Sunday, September 28th, he's in Nanaimo at the Harbour City Theatre, also at 7 p.m. Jem Rolls has been described as the love child of Eminem and John Cleese, and his performance this year is advertised as including references to Balzac, Shakespeare, Mamet, Boney M., Odyssey, Batman, Orwell, East Asian Karaoke, Sinclair Lewis, Justin Trudeau, Plan 9 from Outer Space, and, of course, Malaysian T-shirts. I spoke with Jem by phone as he was headed southward in our direction earlier this week, and he began by giving me what he described as a potted history of himself.
Okay, so anyway, so my name's Jem Rolls. I first started performing in London in about 1993, and I started running a poetry cabaret called Big Word. And I ran that every Thursday for 5 years, and so it was kind of monomaniac, really. It was a poetry cabaret, so there were five acts on. Huge range, it was really, really big, very good time in British performance poetry, really, what was knocking around in London, London being so huge and diverse, yeah, and an awful lot of very different skilled people. And after a while, I started doing the Edinburgh Fringe, which was loads and loads of fun and a complete revelation, because basically we didn't fail. We didn't necessarily succeed. We just didn't sink like a stone like most shows do. And I was one of the people that invented the free fringe, which is now huge there. But anyway, that led me to moving to Edinburgh. And that's really, it's in a sense where the real fun started, because I started poetry slams. I mean, the slams for poetry, the rules for poetry slams they use in Scotland these days, I wrote them, yeah? And I ran poetry cabarets, and really there's not been anything like it before. And there's now a lot of performance poetry in Scotland. And if there's ever a press article, it kind of begins with me, really. And my favourite press quote for myself is, I have this line from The Scotsman, which is the main Scottish newspaper, which is the godfather of Scottish performance poetry, which is quite remarkable when you realise that with my accent, you can't possibly be Scottish, and obviously I come from somewhere around by London. So that means, I think, as far as I'm concerned, that counts, triple points, really, having that quote from from The Scotsman. Anyway, so then, after a little while of doing that, loads and loads of fun, I discovered the Canadian fringes, yeah? And I've been touring Canada. I've just become the first person ever to do 100 fringe festivals.
Yeah, extraordinary. So you said you invented the rules of poetry slams. What are those rules?
In Scotland.
Yeah.
The ones that they use in Scotland, yeah?
Yeah. Well, what are the rules?
Basically it's 2 minutes, and we kind of had named judges who were just generally sort of journalists and establishment people we were trying to make friends with. But essentially the thing was the 2 minutes, and rather than selecting the judges from the crowd, we kind of had our own judges. Those are the main changes, and it is the way that they're still running it there. And Slam's pretty big there at the moment. That's the way that most of the young folks are getting into performance poetry, is through Slam, yeah. As has been the case in much of North America for the past 15 years, yeah?
Right. I saw the show you're doing here in Nanaimo and on Gabriel and elsewhere on the West Coast involves in part the uglies of childhood. Can you tell us something about your childhood, and was it ugly?
Well, really, that piece is, I have this kind of, what I do is chiefly dumb comedy, smart comedy, beautiful poetry, and chunky politics. And I really like to mix it up, and I really like it when people, the audience, do not know. They can't have a handle on what you're going to do next, because they really don't know what you're going to do next. So for something on those lines, I have a long, what is really a comedy routine about where I come from and a few shitholes in Britain, yeah? And then, and that kind of collides into a piece that's not at all funny. It's just really that I went to a school with, bizarrely, because it was just a sort of, a state school, with the children of the army officers at Sandhurst Army College. Okay, it's between the age of five and eight, yeah? And if you think about it, if you're a Ugandan or Pakistani or Peruvian army officer who's at Sandhurst in the 70s or 60s, then you quite possibly went on to do some pretty horrible things. Mm-hmm. That's my line. It's really that there's a kid, and I had a nice little quiet kid sitting next to me called Mohammed when I was about six. That's 1971. And next year, the Pakistani army is committing one of the largest genocides of the entire 20th century. Mm-hmm. And you have to think, well, is his dad involved? I have to think that now. I didn't think of that at the time, of course. I was about 20 or 25 before the ugly truth of this realized this. But that's, it was only conjecture, but it's perfectly possible. In fact, it's very possible, yeah? Like you say, there were the Peruvians there, Pakistanis there, Ugandans there, Kenyans there, and none of these people ended up terribly pretty, yeah?
That sounds like it set a kind of dour tone for your childhood.
I don't know, my childhood was kind of fun, really, running around. Well, I got also, because it was all army land around there, so I had a huge amount of fun running around those woods, really, which were all still only chiefly there because the army used them for exercise. And there were to be, in one shrub we'd have the army, and the next shrub, in one load of bushes you'd have the army, and the next load of bushes you'd have me. So in that sense, it was kind of fun, really. But that's one of those things when you just look back and you realize the truth is something that you couldn't possibly have realized when you're seven, yeah?
Yeah. So does your performance involve a degree of improvisation depending on your audience?
Not really. I am by this stage of the tour, because what I'm going to be doing is really a superannuated version of the show I've been doing from Saskatoon to Vancouver, and so I'll chuck a couple of greatest hits in it that they kind of never fail. But the tough bit about doing an hour show, and not that many poets do an hour show, and it's the best way to do it, because an hour's a long time, you're very free. Is that the tough bit is getting a show up to the point where it's up and rolling, yeah? And when it's up and rolling, in a sense, you want to run with it in the way that it is. But you embellish lines all the time, but I would not call it improvising. And the idea of improvising kind of scares me. But purely by coincidence, rather bizarrely, I did an audition for Cirque du Soleil on Tuesday.
No.
Yeah, and if you meet me, you'll think this is rather odd. So I'm 52, and I'm not trained in any way. And bizarrely,
I assume you wouldn't be on the trapeze. So what would you do for Cirque du Soleil?
Yeah, anyway, yes, precisely, mate. Yeah, or doing or leaping about terribly much. But anyway, apart from the fact that this was a huge amount of fun, and I was there with like sort of 25-year-old whiz kid. Physical performance, yeah, and me. Yeah. So it was a bit of a bizarre one, really. But I have to say that various parts of my body still do hurt from the serious workout, and that was kind of it. That was physical improv that we were doing, yeah. But I'd never really done that before, so it was kind of fun. But I'm still kind of shattered me. So, but the short answer to the question is, I don't really do improv. And if I do, and it's not the introductions to the poems, which were a bit like comedy routines, and then the poems themselves, and I really don't improv the poetry because that's that's very tough to do, and very few people can do that in anything other than a simplistic way.
Mm. Well, now, I know you've traveled pretty much everywhere with your show, but have you been to this part of Canada before, along the Salish Sea?
No, I've been to Gabriela. I've got a friend on Gabriela, Mara Bremner.
Oh, yes, Mara, yes.
Yeah, I know Mara well. So I stayed with her a bunch. She did the tour 1 year, yeah? She was a stage manager on the Fringe tour. And
right.
I kept in touch. I used to do lots of shows for her on Bowen Island. And then she moved to Gabriella. So, and I've been there once before, maybe twice. Can't remember, actually. So, yeah, and I'm really looking forward to coming back. And, yeah, so...
And how did this tour along the coast here come to be?
Oh, purely by... It's a series of... I'm doing four shows, and they all come from different directions, yeah? So Nanaimo mm-hmm. is through the Nanaimo Fringe. Gabriella's through Mara. Qualicum Beach is because I met a guy in a pub in Edinburgh, whose house I'm now in at this moment, John Beaton, who runs house concerts. And right. an old friend of mine, Canadian, who I lost touch with, called Bruce McRae, who basically turned into a poet because he had the misfortune to meet me, yeah? He, anyway, he's now living on Salt Spring. So, and he's had hundreds and hundreds of poems published, actually, since he became a poet. So, and one day I was doing a show in Victoria, and I went out to shake hands with my audience beforehand, and there was Bruce in the lineup. So I've been sort of bumping into him ever since, yeah? So in a sense, all four shows have come from different directions.
I see. And what's next for you after you finish this little tour? Where do you go? What do you do?
I go back to England, and well, I'll do nothing for a little while. And then my plan, that might not happen, is to go somewhere hot. And by very hot, I mean very hot. So I might even go up the Amazon. But that's what I've been talking about doing all summer. But I have to say, I've made no practical steps to going up the Amazon.
Yeah.
Frequently for the winter, I've gone to small islands in Indonesia, or 6 months in India, or Laos and Vietnam, that kind of thing, yeah?
And do you perform when you go to these hot climbs, or do you just sit about and be hot?
For a long time, I mean, 5 months, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but you don't perform while you're there?
Not really. No, I have done a bit, but that's not really why I go to such places. And in a sense, the writing of the show is the tough bit, yeah? The touring's huge amount of fun, because the Fringe gang, the bunch of people that I'm traveling with from Montreal to Vancouver, they're not all there. Not everyone's there all the time, but they're a huge amount of fun. That's chiefly Canadians, but also English, Australians, and lots of Americans. So that's a really. But like I said, that's performing, and it's tough and it's grueling, but it is the real fun of my life. Yeah, and writing is more the tough bit because you're just by yourself. Working on things that you don't know will work, and wasting a lot of time on project on ideas that will come to nothing, yeah, and other ideas that really pay off.
Right. Well, Jeff, it sounds like you're going to bring a burst of energy to Nanaimo and Gabriella and your other stops just when we need it. So we'll look forward to seeing you here.
Okay, Frank. Well, nice to talk to you, Frank.
That was my conversation with Jem Rolls, who performs Jem Rolls Attacks the Silence at the Poetry Yurt on Gabriella. This coming Saturday evening, September 27th at 7 p.m., tickets are apparently no longer available online, but will be available at the door at the yurt, and they are $15, and I hope you noticed how I managed to get two more instances of saying my new favorite word, yurt. That's three in giving you that info. And then Jem is the next night performing at the Harbor City Theater in Nanaimo, 25 Victoria Road. That's within walking distance of the Gabriella Ferry. Again at 7 p.m. Tickets in advance, $12 at nanaimofringe.com or at the door, $15. And now here's a bit of Jem in action at the Montreal Fringe Festival.
So I come off stage after the show, and the first thing I think is, the cliffs. I'm looking at myself, pale, blotchy, panting, sweating, shivering when it hits me. The cliffs, because sometimes, often, this is the best job on earth. I sweat blood over my shows, and I love it when it all comes together. But sometimes, was it them? Was it me? Was it them? It was me. It was you. Oh, sorry, the cliffs. So I rush outside, and everyone's gone, and it hits me. I know where they're going. It's head smashed in, audience jump. And let's get this straight. I love my audience. I don't want to seem overly forward or sycophantic, but what is my audience like? My audience is like me, but better. So much better. Except the cliffs, the cliffs. So I rush into the street and stop a screeching car and wrench out the driver and race off on a mercy mission to say, oh no, my poor, lovely, beautiful, undeserving audience. And as I hurtle up towards the cliffs, I really see my kamikaze audience are already there, staggering like zombie lemmings towards, oh no, it's a first in human history, it's a theatrical worst, it's head smashed in, audience jump. So I rush to the edge and I cry, no, no, it wasn't that bad. And they go, yes, it was. All the way down the cliffs where it's head smashed in, audience jump. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Cheryl Reed, and you are listening to Gabriola Co-op Radio, my station, my island.
Before we move on to my interview with Mary Dupre, the new general manager of Theatre One in Nanaimo, let it be known that our own Radio After Dark is back with a new family-friendly show, The Music of Time, a Dead Rabbit Gang mystery, which I think its creator, Bill Miner, intends as the first of three installments in a story about young people who become mysteriously involved in time travel. I'm appearing in this also. I am not one of the young people, but I am appearing in it also, along with the great Diane Verheel, and I play a grandfather. In fact, I will be playing this grandfather approximately 10 days before I am actually in real life scheduled to become a grandfather. So I don't know how Bill managed that. Perhaps he traveled ahead in time and saw what was going to happen and arranged it accordingly. But at any rate, we perform October 3rd and 4th at 7:30 p.m. at the Surf Lodge. And now here's a little bit of a recent rehearsal with some of the young cast.
I'm turning the crank. You guys coming?
Don't get all huffy. We're right here.
Okay, we're off.
Don't want it too much, Grace.
Yeah, let's take a short trip.
Grandpa never said anything about the wind.
I'll bet there's a lot he didn't say.
Guys! Oh my god. Oh my god!
It's real, Ken. It's all real!
What did we do?
Stick to our plan.
Are you crazy?
No way.
Ken's?
I'm pretty freaked, Gracie. I don't know.
I'm going to have a look.
No!
Grace!
Stop her, Ken's.
Gracie, we've got to stay together.
I need to see what's out there.
She's disappeared. I can only see her feet.
The music's slowing down.
And the tunnel's fading. Gracie!
Gracie, get back!
Gracie!
She can't hear us.
No, Ken's. You'll both be lost.
Ooh, exciting. That was Jacqueline Buckingham, Annalise Jensen, and Raina Jojos rehearsing a little bit of The Music of Time, with its writer-director Bill Miner providing wind sound effects in the background. By the time we perform, those sound effects will have been replaced by a very sophisticated soundscape created by Tony Gradanti. As I say, it's a family-friendly show, playing October 3rd and 4th at the Surf Lodge, at 7:30 p.m. It's just under 90 minutes long, so you'll have lots of time to get the kids home and put to bed at a reasonable hour. And, of course, grandfathers-to-be must also be got home and put to bed at a reasonable hour. Tickets are $10 for children, $15 for adults, available at Artworks.
Welcome to the theater, to the magic, to the fun, where painted trees and flowers grow, and laughter rings fortissimo, and treachery sweetly done.
Now you've well, that is from the musical Applause, one of the campier entries in the American musical theater canon. However, that's Lauren Bacall playing the lead role. It's a musical based on the movie All About Eve. Lauren Bacall, of course, passed away a few months ago, so consider that our little tribute to her.
and also the introduction to our next segment. Mary Dupre is the new general manager at Theatre One, the company in Nanaimo now in its 30th year. Mary is by marriage, part of a venerable Nanaimo theatre family. Her in-laws, Barbara and Roger Dupre, helped co-found the Nanaimo Theatre Group about 60 years ago now. And her brother Ross is an instructor in the theatre department at VIU. However, Mary's accomplishments in theatre are entirely her own. She was for many years a very important part of building and putting on its feet permanently the Belfry Theatre in Victoria. I began by asking her to tell us more about the job she did down there.
General manager and development manager. So responsible for the ongoing operations and raising funds and managing the funds for that. And also for raising funds for capital campaigns. We did five when we were over that period of time. Couldn't do them all at once because there was just too much to be done. So it was broken into different projects and project managing those. It was, a great challenges and great fun.
So what made you decide to come up to Nanaimo?
Well, it's really nice to be back. Returning full circle, coming home is always good. I left the Belfry 3.5 years ago now. So, and I started a small business, and it's been really exciting. I'm still doing that in my spare time. But my husband Ross has been commuting. He works in the theater department at VIU. So it's been 20 years of commuting for him while we were busy living in Victoria. So it's just made a lot of sense to come back home.
Right. So what does Theatre One have upcoming this season?
Well, Theatre One is it's a bustling little place. There's the first show is a co-presentation with the Port Theatre, and that's the Arts Club touring production of Avenue Q, the musical for adults. Really, really funny. It's a triple Tony award-winning piece. It's not for kids. It's not for little kids, even though there's puppets in the pictures. It's what they call it, part flesh, part felt. It's very, very funny and a bit naughty. So that's lots of fun to start off with. There's the Just Kidding series, and that is specifically just for kids. First one's in November. And the Theatre One also offers a Fringe Flicks series, so there's 10 films, independent alternative, that are offered throughout the season. That starts up this weekend already. That's at the Avalon Cinema out at Woodgrove. And then in the spring, there's two shows in rep under the banner Welcome to Parenthood. I think Gabriel audiences are particularly familiar with Lucas Myers. He's got his one-man show, he's bringing us Hello Baby, and that will be teamed up with Nicole Natrices. We're going to premiere her one-woman show, and that's called Mamahood, Turn and Face the Strange, which I love that title. So the two, sort of from the male perspective and the female perspective of parenthood, so I think it'll be awesome for, well, anybody who is a parent, wants to be a parent, or might have been a parent. And following that, in April, will be a piece called Miss Caledonia by Melody Johnson, and that is takes place in the 50s. It's very funny, but quite poignant as well. There's the 50s, this farm gal trying desperately to get out of rural Ontario, so the only thing she can think of is to enter as many pageants as she possibly can and try and win and make it big. So that's a little story there. It's got a fiddler in it as well. And there's the huge fundraiser called Bite of Nanaimo. So that's the gourmet food fair coming up October 17th.
So once again, Theatre One is covering the waterfront. Is David Mann directing those spring productions?
He'll be directing Mamahood, yep. Lucas Myers' show is a touring piece. He's been doing it for a little while now. Hello, Baby.
Right.
But yeah.
Now, David, who's an old professional colleague of mine going back to Edmonton, is your artistic director. He doesn't, though, live in the community, which is a bit unusual, though that is sort of the way Theatre One, when it was the Nanaimo Festival back in the 80s, operated. Why have you decided to go back to that model?
The reality of budgets, of course, right? It's very, very difficult to be able to afford a full-time artistic director right now. The company is small, debt-free, but now it's time to build so that hopefully within the next couple of years we can grow the company and bring more of those resources into the company, of course. David, he's ecstatic if he could live here and be working on with the company full time. So that's one of the goals for sure, is to grow the company. And it's always good, right? Got to pay the artists. So that's a big part of all professional companies' mandates, is to make sure that we're taking care of artists as best we can.
Now, does Theatre One receive operating funding from the BC Arts Council?
No. Hopefully, again, as we grow, there's project funds that are available. So, but hopefully, as again we grow and become more solid, wanting to get in a perfect world, like a 3-show season happening. So, get a subscription series happening and grow that way as well.
Yeah, I'm going to do an episode on the BC Arts Council.
Oh, yeah.
It seems to me a bit of a problem for us as a community that not a lot of BC Arts Council funding is finding its way to our community, however you define that, Central Vancouver Island. For example, why do you think Theatre One is not receiving operating assistance after 30 years?
Oh, well, I don't know. I've only been on the job less than 4 weeks, but I have no idea. Sorry. I'd have to look into that, find out, ask them what they're thinking there.
Well, maybe when I do that episode, I'll ask them.
Yeah.
So what's your own vision for Theatre One going forward?
Well, I'm really excited to be working with Bruce Halliday at the Port. He was my production manager at the Belfry for 8 years prior to him coming up here. So we've worked together years ago on, like I said, growing the company and renovations and such. And he's moving ahead really well with the expansion, completion, I guess, the original plan of having the smaller theater at the Port and 3 rehearsal halls, which is amazing. So that will really serve the arts community at large, because it's a very it's a big challenge finding space. I'm finding already.
Sure.
So that should be huge asset for the community. So that's going to be really fun.
Do you see foresee Theatre One making a home in that new facility if it comes to be?
Oh yes, that would be wonderful. To have everything under one roof is really great for any organization, to have to be able to have your rehearsals and your theatrical offerings in one location. It's so much easier for letting the audience know where you are and marketing. Right now we're bouncing around between 3 or 4 venues, depending on where we can find rehearsal space, and then we do some of the shows at Malaspina Theatre, VIU, and then the presentations at the Port. So it will be lovely to have everything under one roof for sure.
Did having the church space become a very good performance space down in Victoria, did that assist with your audience building down there?
Absolutely. When we started, there was literally no lobby. There was kind of a hallway, so the audience waited outside in the rain. To get a lobby, that was our first renovation, was creation of the lobby and offices for staff. We were all sort of crammed in a basement corner. So all of those resources and amenities absolutely help draw people in. You know, they want to be comfortable and safe and all those good things.
Okay, very good, Mary. Thank you so much for speaking with me, and good luck to all of you at Theatre One with your coming season.
Thank you so much.
That was Mary Dupre, General Manager of Theatre One in Nanaimo. As she mentioned, the company's Fringe Flicks series begins September 28th and 29th at the Avalon Cinema with the UK-Australian film Tracks. Single tickets are $12, or you can buy a subscription to all 10 films for $101. That's through theatre1.org. And as well, Theatre One is co-presenting with the Port Theatre the Arts Club Theatre touring production of the musical Avenue Q, a sort of R-rated version of Sesame Street, featuring the classic musical theatre song The Internet is for Porn. That plays November 13th and 14th at 7:30 p.m. at the Port. Tickets through the Port box office.
The Heart.
And that's it for this episode of Arts on Board. Keep in mind that the annual Thanksgiving studio tour is upcoming on Gabriola. If you're listening to this from off-island, maybe you should plan a trip over on the Thanksgiving weekend. It's a good reason to visit Gabriola and check out some of the artists' studios on the island. As I said, I'm at work on an episode about arts funding in BC and the role of the BC Arts Council in that. Meantime, thanks to the artists and audiences alike who keep both rocks rocking. See you again soon.
My heart is smiling. Smiling 'cause it's almost gone. Yes, it's almost gone, and I need to get